Blog Talk Radio.
GoDamnMedia.com.
And that we are, as I always say at the beginning of my show, because we are in the battle of our lives right now. We are facing Islam and we are staring it down straight into the eye. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. My guest tonight is Bonnie of Bare Naked Islam. I am not going to take up a lot of your listening ears in my monologues or anything like that. I want to get straight to the topic of Islam, and Bonnie is gracing my airwaves in joining me. She will be here in a few moments. I want to just give you a bit of an insight about Bonnie, a lovely, lovely lady who was minding her own business one day on September 11th, 2001. Bonnie was apolitical. She had absolutely no interest in anything about her except getting on with her life. And then all of a sudden, what surrounded her was Armageddon. She didn't understand what was going on. None of us did. She became educated, and she did not stop. Bonnie has not slowed down since that day, 13 years ago. She started this blog. It was a humble little blog. She might have maybe five people would tune in. However, this blog is unlike anything you had ever seen before. Bonnie delved deeper and deeper and deeper into the underbelly of Islam. And she brought you things that you wish you had never seen. But this is probably one of the most honest blogs that I have ever encountered. And I want to tell you something. It's that I myself, I was political, of course. I've been active in my politics, local, regional, federal. But I never paid attention to world issues. I never paid attention to geopolitical politics. I did not know what Islam was until 9/11. And quite frankly, back then, I didn't even have a computer. I didn't have the internet. I had nothing like that. I had to rely on my dailies, my hard copies, and that would be the MSM dailies. And we know how they report. Yes, MSM. I finally got everything together. I got my computer. I got the internet. By then, I did have a modicum of understanding as to what happened on that day, and a modicum of understanding of Islam, but I still wasn't quite sure what it was. So I explored the internet, and I was, Googling 9/11, and I came across this site, and thought, Bare Naked Islam. Well, what is that? So I opened it up, and believe me, my senses were assaulted by what I was seeing. But I kept reading all these posts and all these articles. And it's like, is this for real? What is this jihad stuff? What is going on here? So I kept going back to Bare Naked Islam. And there were things on there every single day. And there were more and more atrocities. I was like, what is this so-called religion, which we now recognize is nothing but a political entity? 5 years, some odd later, here I am. I have my own blog up there. Infidels are watching. And I have my own radio program speaking with you about the issues of Islam, its ramifications, and what it means to the West. I have a lot of people filing into my chat room, and I'm on the air, which means I only have one hand, so I can't type anymore, but I do want to say hello to Egador, Drakestrom. I have some guests in here, Golf Dogs, Holger, Lady Michelle, Laura Chenault, Luchadora, No Way, Paul Alexander, Radio Jihad, Reactionaries, and those who are listening on the other devices and listening online in my studio. So thank you all. I really appreciate you all being here. Lady Michelle, Lovely question. It never stops. We are indeed engaged in something that I don't think we've really witnessed in our lifetime, but something our children certainly will in theirs if we don't do anything about it right now. I am going to play you a clip, and then without, you know, further delay, I'm going to bring on Bare Naked Islam. But to give you an idea of what we do, what all of us do, when we discuss the issues of Islam and we expose what Islam is, we get targeted. Our Facebook pages get shut down. Our Twitter accounts get compromised. Our radio programs are messed about. And our blogs are threatened by such so-called organizations like CARE, the Council of Islamic, rather, Council of American. I'm sorry, I have trouble saying that. Council of American Islamic Relations. I have a real hard time spitting that one out because we all know what CARE is. It's a front group. That's all it is. It's a front group for the Muslim Brotherhood. We're not stupid. They cannot hide any longer. I'm going to play this. I want you to understand that the work that Bonnie does, it comes under threat every single day. As you know, Bare Naked Islam was shut down for close to 2 months because CARE targeted her site. Listen to this.
Muslims in our area are on high alert after alleged demands that they be killed. The source of that anti-Muslim rhetoric is an internet blog. Now the FBI is investigating. Ken Molestina has been following this story and joins us live. Ken.
Yeah, Andrew, the blog in question is called Bare Naked Islam, and to say the least, the material on it doesn't favor Islamic culture. But now one group in particular is claiming that material is going beyond free speech, and it's now being taken as a threat.
This is what's being considered one of the latest threats against Muslim Americans. The blog site Bare Naked Islam is filled with anti-Muslim messages, but it's some in particular
Hello.
That have caught the attention of the Council on American Islamic Relations.
Hello.
I think it's completely inappropriate to make threats against any place of worship, and in this case, a mosque.
Or Muslims themselves. CARE spokesman Carrie Saylor is referring to comments posted by the blog's followers calling for the violent actions.
The blog talks about violence against Muslims and mosques throughout the country and our area, but it also specifically has mention of this mosque, the Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center in Falls Church.
I want Muslim blood on my hands, writes the person who claims to have issue with the mosque off Route 7 in Falls Church. It's the same mosque where Anwar al-Awlaki served as an imam. The American-born cleric was killed in Yemen 2 months ago after U.S. officials identified him as planning attacks and conspiring against the U.S. It's that kind of association, Saylor believes, may be driving the calls for violence on Muslims in our area.
Most people were introduced to Islam on September 11th, watching an airplane fly into a building.
The blog's administrator, who simply goes by Bonnie for fear of retaliation, said this. The vast majority of calls for violence against Muslims are in response to Muslim violence against non-Muslims and Muslims alike. I have never called for the destruction of all mosques, but I have called for the banning of Islam and the closing of all mosques in the U.S. The administrator says violent comments are filtered out, but admittedly tells Nine News some get through.
When people become sort of desensitized to saying horrible things about the other, then you usually begin to see an uptick in violence.
CARE did put together a study that shows violence against Muslims doubled across the country from 2009 to 2010. Andrew.
And welcome back, everybody. Just to remind you, you're listening to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Carl Fritzy. And I want to welcome Bonnie of Bare Naked Islam. Bonnie, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Cal. Thank you so much for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Oh, my goodness. I am telling you, Islam never sleeps, and nor do we.
I brought back bad memories.
I know.
The first time CARE got me taken off the internet. And it was basically because of the comments that were written, not so, well, I mean, of course, they hate the content, but it was basically because of the comments. So the first time they bitched to WordPress, I took off all the comments, several hundred thousand comments. I just had them delete them all. And that was fine for about 3 weeks. And then they came back, and the next thing I knew, WordPress was saying I violated their terms of service, but they never told me what I violated. And I couldn't even get to them. The only thing they did was, you know, they gave me a few days to move to another site, but that was it. And it was because of CARE. And CARE, I mean, WordPress said it wasn't, but CARE announced that they had gotten my site taken down in their own press releases. So it was them.
Of course it was. Absolutely.
And, you know, I moved, and then because I was on the self-hosted site then, they couldn't talk to the host site and have them take me down because I was paying for it. It wasn't a free site or anything. So they sent in the hackers. And that happened, you know, like a month or two after that. They sent in hackers, and I had to move again to a more secure place, and I did. And then they started international hacking. I had hackers from China, Ukraine, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and Kazakhstan. And they were doing these, what they call DDoS attacks, which totally disabled the site. So finally, after help from one of my readers, actually, I was able to get with a webmaster who knew what he was doing, and he was able to track where all the hacking attempts were coming from. It was like 100,000 an hour or something. It was unbelievable. So I finally got to a host server where I have a lot of protection. And it costs a lot of money. I can't have to say it's not cheap. But thank God, since I've been with them, I haven't been hacked or disabled yet. So all is good. But Kara, I know Kara would still like to get me taken down.
Oh, no kidding. Bonnie, it's absolutely unreal out there. I was speaking with Pink Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
And Pink Cadillac is also a very dear friend of both of ours.
Oh, yeah.
And her account, her Facebook account, was hacked this week. And she
really?
Could not access it.
I didn't even hear that.
Yes. It's not the first time it's happened to her. And
no, I don't deal with Facebook for that reason. I mean,
no,
I guess
exactly. A lot of people won't. Yeah.
The majority of my hits come from Facebook, though, which kind of amazes me because I know they take down a lot of my posts, but I won't use them personally.
And that is exactly it. It's Facebook. It seems every time we talk about politics, we're feeding into the war chest for the Democrats. I don't know what it is, Bonnie, but every time we put up a link, either it be from Bare Naked Islam or Atlas Shrugs or Logan's Warning, it seems every time we throw those up in Facebook, I'm really shocked myself that my own Facebook group page, Infidels Are Watching, has not been tampered with.
I know. You're under the radar somehow. A lot of people change the head. You know, they put like one of the tiny URLs, so you can't really see the name Bare Naked Islam in the URL. So I think that's the way they get it in there. Is that way? That doesn't come up.
But you know, when we talk about the issues of Islam, what really, really upsets me is that all of a sudden, we are targeted and we're the haters. We are the enemies. Apparently 50% of the United States who follow conservative lines are actually the haters of the United States. I don't know whether or not that's not the Obama administration stepping in or what it is, but why is it that when we speak out about the issues of Islam, all of a sudden we've got entities not only keeping an eye on us, but targeting us and shutting down our sites. And what they did to you a year and a half, 2 years ago, was just absolutely unforgivable. And Bonnie, I will tell you right now, I was jonesing for you.
I don't know. The left, I mean, for they're really not called liberals anymore because nothing is liberal about the way they think. And it's more fascistic in the way they want people with differing opinions shut down. And look what the IRS did with groups that spoke against Obama. So it's rampant. Yeah. Obama, I think, encouraged it, but it's been rampant in the left for quite a while now. It's just been brought out into the open more because you have an administration that backs it, probably instigates it. So that's what, I mean, they call us what they are. That's what the left, that they've had this technique that they've used for a long time. They're the haters. They hate everything that they disagree with or whatever, and but they attach that label to us. And they're very good at it. We're not good at fighting back.
No, absolutely not. It seems that our arsenal is very limited, and that is due to not because of the spirit of the people and mm-hmm. not because that we're not trying our best, and we absolutely are, for goodness sake. I mean, you look at all these radio shows and blogs that are out there. And by the way, Marcia from Radio Jihad says hello.
Oh, hi. Love Radio Jihad.
Oh, so do I. And it is just that we are tempered down every single time. I was speaking with Tom Trentle last month. Mm-hmm. He graced my radio show there. And mm-hmm. I was asking him, I said, Tom Trentle, like, Tom, what is it with you? You have United West going on there, and it seems though every time you turn around, you're being confronted by whether or not it's the CARE Florida or whatever it is. But every time he turns around, he says it's an uphill battle. And I don't understand what, is it a sleeping public, or is our public so full of dimitude that they really don't understand what's going around them?
Dimitude is not the big factor, although that does exist. I think it's ignorance to a large degree. Until something about Islam affects you personally, and some people outside of New York weren't quite affected by 9/11 the way we were, but, you know, until, you know, they're putting a mosque up in, you know, in your backyard, people just don't notice it. It's not these, the stories that I cover and all my fellow anti-Islam bloggers post, those stories don't make it to the MSM for the most part. And when they do, lots of times they have a pro-Islam bias or left-wing bias. And, you know, people, if they don't spend that much time reading about it, or and it's not on the TV much either. I mean, there's so many stories, I go crazy, big stories about crime and things that Muslims are doing, and it doesn't make it anywhere outside the blogosphere. People don't know. It's not the dimitude so much, although that exists to a large degree on the left, in schools and everything, but, you know, I still think your average person isn't aware, and that's the problem. That's why my blog is what it is, and why I post so many stories, you know, because I know I reach a large audience that I can never reach on my own because people send these stories to people I know. So it's the only way you can learn about this. But unfortunately, we have no backup from the media. Even Fox News isn't what it used to be since their own Saudis. So we have nobody in the media to speak for us. Tom is great, but, you know, he confronts people like CARE and these groups. He gets in their face, literally. I mean, he shows up at their events and their meetings, so they hate him. You know, I have a whole section that I devote to, a whole category for the CARE Nazis, and pretty much nearly every day I have at least one story about them, and they hate that. So they'll come after me harder than they will against, you know, well, Jihad Watch and Atlas do it too, but I focus a lot on CARE because I think they're more dangerous than terrorists, you know, as far as America goes.
Oh, well, yeah. That
and they're
is
constantly, they're in schools. Now their big thing is going around to all the schools demanding 2 Muslim holidays off for Muslim students and getting halal food in the schools. It's all this stealth jihad or the civilization jihad that they call it. It's all over. That, to me, that's a much bigger threat than any terrorist threat. And that's what I focus on a lot. I try to put as many stories as I can about Islamization of America. I think that's a big, big threat, and that's why they come after me, because I expose what they're doing. So,
well,
and I made the list. Did you see? I made the list of CARES Islamophobia.
Yeah, you know what? I just posted that link in the chat room. Oh, Bonnie, I'm so proud of you.
Me too. Yeah,
you made page one.
I know.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I just posted the link in the chat room from Bare Naked Islam. Bonnie made the care list of the inner core of anti-Islam groups.
But all these hundreds of millions of dollars that people are getting, I haven't seen any of that yet. I don't know where these backers are, but I haven't seen any. So if you're out there, guys, I'm here. You know, you can support me if you want, because you don't make a lot of money doing this.
Goodness.
And I do, you know, I get donations from a lot of people, and it helps, you know, it helps maintain the security I need, but, you know, you can't make a living from
it.
Are
people aware, too? Hey, folks, you can buy really cool swag from Bare Naked Islam, too. I've got my...
We're going to wait on that, because I'm having a whole new line of T-shirts.
Oh, okay.
Bumper stickers. I have an art director that... touch base with me, and he wants to do a whole thing using my, you know, latest logo, and a whole line of things that people will be able to buy. So the old stuff, really, you know, it's pretty old. It's like two headers ago. So I want to update it, and, you know, people will be able to
I threw it in my show notes anyway. So people, if you go above and you go below the slides, I have all the links there for Bonnie's blog and where you can get some really cool swag until she updates it. And, of course, you've got the links to my stuff. But, hey, and Ecuador is wondering, how do I get on that list? Hey, I'm waiting for me to get on that list. Oh, my goodness, you're holding
list?
An illustrious
which,
company.
Which,
you,
which,
you're
which
amongst...
You're on my blog
What's that,
list. What, you're on my blog list. What list? Oh, you mean the care list?
Yeah, the care which, list.
Oh, well, you
yeah,
have to be more, you know, in their face. They have to notice you.
Oh, I am being more and more of a brat. I am the thorn in their side. I had Care Chicago actually follow me on Twitter, and they just would not give up. It's like, okay, I'm collapsing this Twitter account. I'm starting all over again because I just couldn't deal with
them.
The headache.
Why don't you just block them?
You know what? I'm not a Twitter.
No. It's
really
very easy. When you see their
savvy.
Name, you just click on it, and it says block. It's real easy. That's
darn
what
it,
I
Bonnie.
I see
where were you 2 years ago?
What's that?
Where were you 2 years ago?
Now, look, I know they follow me anyway. I have no idea. Obviously, they're not using the name Care as their Twitter handle.
Yeah.
So, but
oh,
I don't
yeah.
care. I mean, my blog, everything I think and everything I say, it's all on my blog. There's nothing mysterious. So it's there for everybody to see. So whether they follow it on Twitter or on my blog, it doesn't matter. But I do know they monitor it very closely. You know, I can see by remarks they make that they are following it every day. But that's all right.
Well, you know what? Everybody so appreciates what you're doing, and I've got so many people in the studio on the line who want to have a word with you, and I have so many people in my chat room
that
are offering up kudos. I just want to say, though, that are you ready to take some phone calls?
Sure.
Okay. I've got one here who's been waiting very long. And I'm bringing him or her on. 111, welcome to the Red Fox Blogger, and you're speaking with Bonnie of Bare Naked Islam. Do you have a question or comment, and what is your name?
Hello, is this, you talking to me?
Yes, I am, sir.
Oh, great, yeah, sorry, my name's Don Laird.
Don. I know Don.
Hey, how are you, Bonnie?
Don is a great conservative blogger. I'm fine. Nice to hear your voice.
Yes.
Actually, I'm a lipstick blogger. I don't have a blog. I just I get on to the existing blogs like Bonnie's blog and some of the other ones, Vlad Tepes, and I make these hot, winded, and hysterical comments that usually run, you know, a couple of paragraphs, etc. But
they're great. You blow everybody away. They're great. We love your posts.
I appreciate that. I'll just thought I'd touch base with you. I was taking a look at your posting on your website there that you'd be on the radio today. So I thought I'm sitting right now just outside Jasper, Alberta. So I'm sitting on a cell phone here, so I thought I got to give her a call and say hello. I have a question. I wanted to kind of turn this around and get some sort of feedback from you. First of all, a compliment before I go into the question there. And the compliment is I just want to thank you very much for the work you do. It's crucial. It's been illuminating. It's been educational. And it's at the forefront, along with probably about half a dozen of the other sort of power blogs, if you want to put it that way, in bringing the true face of Islam to light for most of the Western world. So I want to thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
not a problem. About 2 years ago, and I'll ask my question, and then I'll just sit back and listen to the rest of the of your answer on the phone here. I don't have access to the net right now. About 2 years ago, you were being interviewed on a blog talk radio show. A gentleman out of New York City, I forget the name of the blog, and I jumped on there, and we were talking. And one of the positions that I'd maintained with respect to Islam, and it's sort of in the shadow of the myth of the good Muslim, and I'll just sort of set this question up here. The good Muslim, and I've dealt with this in many of my comments, is an elusive creature. I believe it to be a lie. When you take a look at many of the incidents across North America for which the perpetrators of the violence and the murder have been brought to court, there's very rarely, if ever, in fact, I can safely say, if ever, one Muslim standing outside those courthouses for the bombings and the murders. Nidal Hassan comes to mind, Aksa Parvez, Mohammed Shafia, the Toronto 18. There's never one Muslim standing outside saying, this is not my Islam, this is not the religion of peace. But in Toronto 6 months ago, when somebody drew a cartoon, we had 2,500 Muslims hit the streets blocking traffic and causing chaos. So the good Muslim being a myth and dealing with that issue and setting that aside, about 2 years ago, and I've maintained this as sort of a cornerstone of my philosophy, is that what we are looking at down the road is a series of either select deportations or mass deportations for people who are completely incompatible with Western values and life in a Western democracy. And I remember 2 years ago when I asked you that question, you were actually quite hesitant. You said, well, I don't think that mass deportations would work, and there might be some other solutions. And so my question is, in the 2 years that has elapsed since I originally asked that question, I'm going to ask you the question again and see if you've changed your mind somewhat, and that is, do you foresee in the coming future as a part-in-part solution either selective or mass deportations of Muslims back to Islamic countries in order to solve the problems that we're facing here in North America and the West?
No, I don't. Now, even less than 2 years ago. It'll never happen. I can never see it happening. I could see perhaps a conservative getting into power who might limit Muslim immigration into this country. There'll never be mass deportation. I mean, we can't even get rid of criminals that are here. So
yeah.
I don't ever see that happening. Republican, Democrat, they're never going to do it. It would be too unpopular. It would be, you know, called xenophobic, racist, you know, the usual. I don't see anybody with the courage to even suggest it. But I'm hoping they can put the brakes on immigration, because I know Obama's bringing in way more than we even know about. So to me, that's the only possibility. I never see mass deportations unless they just, you know, nuke this country. Then that could be some, you know, that could be a cause. But short of that, no, I don't see it.
And so aside from just limiting the levels of immigration, which it appears to be a bit of a non-starter, especially with the current state of politics in the United States, what do you suggest as a solution to the Islamic Muslim problem here in the West, both for Europe and North America?
Wow, that's a hard question. I don't know. You know, I've thought sometimes it should be better integration, but in this country, they're kind of integrated. They're not you know, there's no no-go zones like in Europe and England. But, see, they do integrate, but if they practice Islam, they're not really considering themselves Americans. They're always Muslims first. And
right.
What I fear the civilization jihad is a much bigger threat, and there's nobody that seems to want to do anything about it. They're infiltrating our schools. I keep getting reports, and I post stories about Muslim speakers coming to classes. Just recently in Tennessee, they took a whole class to a mosque, and the kids were given Qurans. And for the one kid who refused to go, they gave her a sheet with a lot of anti-American rhetoric on it, and saying how, you know, Muslims are much better than Americans are. And this is the kind of thing that I think, you know, parents need to be aware. Parents need to come to the schools and raise hell. They're pushing halal in the schools, and not just an option of halal. You get enough Muslim kids, and then the school starts saying, well, we'll use all halal meat because it's cheaper that way. And part of the jihad is getting non-Muslims to eat halal. It's all this, you know, the inner stuff that's permeating this country and Europe that's the biggest danger. And you have to talk to everybody you know. You have to tell them, even though, you know, people don't want to hear it. If you keep harping on it, you know, something usually wakes them up when it hits them in their backyard, when their kid comes home and says, oh, I learned how to recite the Shahada today in school. You know, there's always a catalyst. I mean, for me, it was 9/11, but it took me 7 years to start my blog. But I did start, you know, learning about it and posting about it on discussion forums. Of course, I kept getting banned from discussion forums for what I wrote. That's why I started the blog. And I didn't put anything near as controversial on the discussion forums as I do on my blog. But that, you know, that was my catalyst. You know, I didn't want to get thrown off a forum anymore, so I started a blog. Somebody, you know, they don't want their kid reciting prayers to Allah. So, you know, they speak up. They get a group of parents together, and they go to the principal and say, no, there is no Islam in this school. And the superintendents and principals, they back down pretty easily when there's enough parents that are concerned about this. And it's all these little pieces that have to come together. But, you know, with more and more Muslims coming in and building mosques and residential neighborhoods, people are, you know, they start to wake up and they see it. And that's the only thing I can see. You're never going to be able to throw a lot of people who haven't committed crimes out of this country.
Yeah, exactly.
I think one of these.
And Don. Oh, Don, go ahead. But before I let you go, I have a question for you from the chat room.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Holger wants to know, how on earth did Calgary end up electing a Muslim mayor?
Well, I think the answer to that question is in part, and it'll be a two-pronged question back at Bonnie, and this will answer Holger's question. I think what we're dealing with, and I'm wondering how Bonnie feels about this, it's almost as though Nero's fiddling and Rome's burning. It seems one of the greatest enemies that we have is our own apathy and our own ignorance. And there's many times, and this is certainly something that is common knowledge among Muslim community, and certainly something that they capitalize on. It's one of their greatest weapons. But when you try and educate the public, we really don't care. As long as we've got some ridiculously insulting sitcom on television, as long as we can wander through a shopping mall and buy something frivolous and ridiculous that we don't need, as long as we have the illusion of partial prosperity, and we can live our quiet lives relatively unmolested, regardless of taxation and politics and all the rest of that, then we're just going to shut up and go with the flow. How do you respond to the apathy level? And that's what answers Holger's question. Is Nishini, I think, or Nishihi is his last name. And some of the foolishness that goes on in Calgary is actually quite remarkable. You've got Muslims of Calgary that are advocating violence. You've got the cartoon cowboy of Calgary, Saeed Saharwardi, and this vicious little worm drained the Canadian taxpayers of almost, well, it was over $2 million over his ego relating to the to a cartoon of the prophet Muhammad, I should say, of the false prophet Muhammad.
He was offended by that,
and he took that to the Human Rights Commissions. But I guess what we're dealing with in Calgary is what we're facing all across North America and the West, and I want to throw that at Bonnie, is the levels of apathy. Are they not our greatest enemy and not really the Muslims? The Muslims will do as they are, as they're trained to do, as they're commanded to do. I think our greatest mountain to climb is ignorance and apathy.
And that's exactly it, Dawn, and I'm passing that right back to Bonnie because that was the points that we were touching on at the beginning of the program.
It's so true.
I'm tossing that
there is both ignorance and apathy, but you can't force people to become educated. I think this country was probably pretty apathetic between World War I and World War II until we were attacked by the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought 9/11 would have had a more long-lasting effect on this country, but it hasn't. So maybe it's going to take some more terrorist attacks. I don't know. That's kind of a good catalyst for waking people up. Right now,
right.
You know, again, it's
yeah.
not affecting them personally, so until that happens. But, you know, I see it. I get emails from people who never, you know, commented on my blog or anything. And all of a sudden, something happens in their kid's school, and they're all upset about it, and they, you know, ask me what I think they should do. That's how people wake up, you know, without a major attack or a major incident. I don't know. It's just doing what we do to as many people as we can. But, you know, you're not going to reach everybody this way, you know, a major attack or something.
Do you think that's going to be enough to stem the tide, Bonnie, though?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the question. That is the burning question. And Dawn, I think you're spot on about that. And Dawn, to say to you, I really appreciate your phone call. And I'm a fellow Canuck, and I lived in Calgary for 5 years. It's a beautiful city. I miss it so very much living here now in Ontario. Believe me, there are some days when I wish I could be back in Calgary, but then I think about the mayor. I was there when John Dewar was the mayor.
Right, right.
Oh.
But just before I go, and it brought up an interesting point, and I really want to get sort of, I want to pick away and perhaps to hopefully not to Bonnie's irritation, but just one last question. She mentioned, and it was actually in relation to a point that I was going to make, and it goes hand in hand with deportation, and that's something that I've maintained is pretty much one of our most effective solutions. And she had mentioned how we had fallen asleep between the First and the Second World War. And just in Jasper, there's actually an internment camp, the site of an old, in Jasper, Alberta, a very beautiful tourist resort area. There's actually a site of an old internment camp for Eastern Europeans at the during the First World War is where they were held there. And what a place to be held as a political prisoner, if you want to put it that way, right in the midst of the most beautiful place in the Rocky Mountains, Jasper, Alberta. But that brings me to my point that where she had mentioned World War II. And here you have the similarities. I mean, they differ to some extent. You have people who revere a political leader as almost a god. It was the emperor with the Japanese in the Second World War. It's Muhammad with the Muslims down through the last 1,400 years. And you have the willingness to commit suicide and commit acts of murder and various acts of barbarity and savagery in the name of your leader or your god. And during the Second World War, we recognized that threat. And we rounded up a lot of the Japanese. We moved them away from sensitive areas, from civilian sensitive areas, military sensitive areas. We interred them, and we reduced their threat to nil. And it seems to me that that would be a viable solution today, where you have Muslims that are hell-bent on the destruction of America and Canada as we know it now. Would that not be another solution, is to... I hate to use the word round them up, but to to centralize them where they can be more easily watched and certainly made less effective in their fight against them.
You know, it was unconstitutional when FDR did it. He did it against the Constitution. You'll never be able to do that again. And
you don't think so?
No, never. In fact, but why do you even want them here? Intern them for how long? Forever? I'd rather one-way, first-class ticket back to the country of their choice with a lot of spending money and just say, goodbye, go.
And that's
Bonnie,
exactly,
you're
and
way
that's exactly
behind. I'd get them a cargo ticket.
No. Make it easy for them to want to leave. You want them to want to leave. You have to make it so they want to leave. Stop giving them welfare. Stop giving all the Somalis welfare. And make it so it's so uncomfortable they'd rather go back home.
Anyway, listen. I don't want to monopolize the show, and I've enjoyed
Don,
the show and the
kidding?
Conversation.
It was fantastic. I really want to get in touch with you down the road, Don. I really want to talk with you later.
Yeah, you bet, Don. Well, you've got my. Have you got my? Did my phone number show up on your computer there?
It shows up as a cell phone number, which is 111. But
okay,
you know what?
All right. Well, Bonnie's
don't
got,
worry.
Bonnie's
I
got
will,
my email address.
I will find you. I will find you.
Yeah.
One thing I'm very
not
good
a
at
problem.
Is finding people.
Okay, great.
Don,
listen to both
thank
to both
you
of you.
So
thank
very
you very much.
Much.
Okay,
you
thank
bet.
You.
And keep up the good work. And I don't have a computer, so when I sign off here, I'm gone. But within about 30 minutes, I'm going to be chowing down at a Chinese buffet here. So keep up the
there
good work,
go.
Guys.
There you go. Thanks, Don. Have a great
all right, take care,
evening.
Bonnie.
Hey, thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank Don Laird for joining the discussion.
Don's great. He's got a great sense of humor, too.
he's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I have another person who has been hanging on for quite the longest time. Are you ready for... I'm going to let you come up for air in a few minutes, Bonnie. But
and I'm fine. I'm fine.
I've been holding for 30 minutes. And that is area code 450, and you are on the air. Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger, and you're speaking with Bare Naked Islam, and that would be Bonnie. What's your question or what's your comment for Bonnie?
Is that me?
That would
oh,
be
I know.
You.
I think I know that voice.
Yeah.
I think that's
yeah, I'm
Kay,
to read it. I helped her
one of my best commenters, Susan Kay, and my
yeah,
Susan
Kay, we're keeping it that way. Well, look, I live in Quebec. I am a proud Quebecois. And Bonnie has been instrumental in a way in getting our government to institute a new charter regarding religious symbols in the schools and the public institutions. I'm with a group here in Quebec that we have our both feet well planted in the federal and provincial governments, and we've actually brought many, many positive changes to the federal immigration program. And also the provincial, the guy I work with, our email transfers reaches 160,000 email addresses. So of which all the ministers, you could click on any minister that we see he sent to the list that he retransfers to us, and it'll come back to you, access not authorized, just for private emails. Mm-hmm. And it's because of... Bonnie, since she started moderating the comments 2 years ago, because before I couldn't send them, and I had mentioned that to her once, but she doesn't remember. But since she started moderating the comments, the guy that I work with, we've been sending to the ministers, sometimes like 5-6 emails a day, mm-hmm. Of which one a day, maybe two a day from Bonnie sometimes.
Wow.
And
I didn't know that.
And just to let my listeners know in which you refer, you're talking about Quebec's Charter of Values with...
yes, I am
where,
so...
Where it's all overt religious...
We worked so hard. You have no idea how hard we worked on this.
Yes.
But that charter, you know, it was first leaked to get the people ready. And then he presented what was the general outline. But the real thing is coming out soon. And I believe it will be a bit harsher than what they expect. So we're just getting them prepared for it. But right now there is we're the first ones in North America that anybody that works in a taxpayer institution or partially funded institution, no religious visible signs allowed. Over. It's ended. Sikhs have been complaining about it. Everybody's complaining about it except the Quebecois, the silent majority. But it's going to die down, and it's going to be okay. And
you
I think it will pass
because the media reports I've been reading, they're all saying it'll never pass. Do you think it will?
The minister in charge, because he works with my guy, as a matter of fact, 2 days ago, it's on the news all over the place. The Council of Status of Women, the president, she found out 2 minutes before it was released to the press that her team was being replaced by four new women, of which two of these women are part of her group.
Mm-hmm.
So we have really, really a good influence here. It's working really well. They've considered everything. They're ready for the judiciary. They've considered everything and they're ready for it. They know it will be fine.
What I'm upset about is that I see Jews and Sikhs and people of other religions complaining about it when everybody
it's terrible.
It's because of Muslims that they're in.
Everybody knows it, but nobody is talking about it. The majority, everybody knows this. Everybody knows it's because of the Muslims.
Right.
But the majority of the Sikhs are not complaining. They're just going to take the odd one, you know?
Probably.
That's it, you know, but it's not affecting the general speech. Mm-hmm. It isn't, you know.
There are
vandalisms that have started, and they're saying it's the Quebecois. No, I'm not stupid here, you know. It's them that are doing it, the victim card.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
When does it go up to be passed? When is that?
I figure in about a month.
Uh-huh.
In a month.
Okay.
In a month, yeah. I can't wait to see the final draft. I mean, the final of it. Yeah, it's good. It's going to be good. It's going to be stricter than what he announced.
That's good.
Definitely.
What do you think the Muslim reaction will be?
And we're going to be doing a demonstration here on Sunday. Oh, something else I'm working on, shit. Because there was a demonstration, that counter-demonstration. Now, they were not 8,000. They were 1,000. They were supposed to be 20. They were one.
Susan, do you think if it passes, a lot of Muslims will move to Ontario?
It's already, they're already learning how to speak English.
Oh.
They're learning English. They want to leave. And I find it fantastic. It's triage.
Susan, thanks. Dump them all in Ontario on me.
What can we do, you know? But it's good triage because last year in Paris, the Quebec Consulate put up 7,500 residency visas. We've never put up that many.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all taken up within 48 hours. It's a historic precedent.
Wow.
And it's all true Frenchmen that are fleeing France and they want to come and live here. Educated people because of insecurity issues over there and economic issues also. It's better here. So those that leave, you know, I mean, we'll be able to fix, you know, replace the jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Lighten that, the welfare rolls will be lightened.
Right.
All this stuff. So it's good. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
And they are learning English. Trust me. Yes, it's good.
The mayor of Calgary, he put out a shout out to those Muslims in Quebec that, hey, we've got plenty of room here in Calgary. Come on out. And Ontario, province of Ontario, is doing the exact same thing. They're putting ads in their newspapers already saying that we don't care what's on your head, we care what's in it. And, of course, there's a picture.
I saw that. That's good.
Some beautiful
Saskatchewan, too. You know, they've been. But the one I'm worried about is Prince Edward Island. This is a small place. And they're starting to move in there. So, you know, that's really easy to,
I can't that kind of answers Don's question, though. It's self-deportation without having to deport anyone.
Exactly.
Now, if
it's,
we could just get these things countrywide, then we get them to self-deport to a more Islam-friendly country. That's the idea.
Exactly, and that was the answer exactly to what was Don said earlier. Yes, you can regulate this by getting rid of anything that is Sharia Islam, if you can say it. That hijab thing is Sharia Islam.
Right.
It's the way I see it. It's not a religious requirement. So you get rid of that. You get rid of the parents. You get rid of everything.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah,
so I'm rooting for your success, and I'm doubting it'll ever happen here, but you never know.
Yeah. Anyway, so look, I'll let you go. I sent you 3 emails.
Okay.
If you could get them all in one email. 3 incidents today in England.
Yeah, I saw. I glanced over them. I know.
Yeah, but there's a third one that just came in.
Okay.
Three, you know, anyway.
Okay.
A couple that was slashed straight with a razor across the face.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay,
take care.
Thank you
thanks.
So very much for calling in and speaking with Bonnie. This is
Bonnie's
show.
Yeah, thanks.
And I know she, like, it's a thrill for our Bonnie to listen to the people that visit her blog.
Well, it's more than that. She was instrumental in our charter without knowing it.
Yeah, I had no idea.
So it's good. It's good. Yeah.
Great.
Okay, take care.
You too. Au revoir.
Bye.
You too, Susan. And don't hang up. You can still listen. I'll just
No,
you
I'm listening on the internet.
You don't have to hang up.
Okay. No, it's a...
Sorry, Susan, you went blank there for a second. Susan, thank you so very much.
She's on the internet, she said.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. You know what? It is at the top of the hour, and I have Bonnie for the other part of the program, another hour. I do have people that are waiting in the studio to speak with Bonnie, but I want her to come up for a little bit of air, and I want you guys to come up for a little bit of air and maybe refresh your teas or whatever it is you do. And I want to take
a 3-minute break. Get another Diet Coke.
There you
okay.
go, Bonnie. I am going to play a little song. It's called Dimitude, Evil Will Live On. And I'll see
Very
you guys
good.
Back here. Me and Bonnie will see you guys back here in 3 minutes. And 636, please hang on. You have been waiting so patiently, and I appreciate that. But I want to give Bonnie a bit of a break. We'll be back in a sec, folks.
Appeasement. Dressed up as political compromise. It's immediate. The benefits seem immediate and popular. And tangible. Peace at what price? But is it not an illusion? Are we not kidding ourselves? I'm just staving up the day of reckoning. Can evil ever be compromised? Ever be compromised? Evil will live on. 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 suicide.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Red Fox Blogger. And to remind you, I'm your host, Cal Fritzy, and my guest tonight is Bonnie, a Bare Naked Islam, and she is taking your phone calls. And I put the phone number in the chat room. But for those of you who are listening on other devices, please call in if you have a question for Bonnie, and that would be at 347-237-4318. Bonnie?
Yep.
We are covering so much ground in so little time.
There's a lot of ground to cover. There's never enough time.
Oh, and I've got now I've got two callers that are waiting to speak with you. And like I say, Bonnie, tonight this is your show to address your audience because these are your people that tune into your blog, and they are so thrilled that you're here tonight. I want to bring in somebody for whom you would probably like to address, and that is area code 636. Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger. What is your name, and what is your question or comment for Bonnie?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, 636. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm Uncle. Bonnie knows uncles. I want to just call and tell her I'm cheering her on. And on 9/11, I was at a restaurant and ran into some young couples. I told them about her site, and they pulled up on their smartphones, and they really liked it when I told them that Bonnie produces the goods. She lives up to her name, Bare Naked Islam. So they really enjoyed that. So
oh,
I don't want
you
to hog up any more of your time. So.
Thank you very much. That's
you've been waiting so very long. And 636, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Oh, Uncle, Bonnie knows me about Uncle.
Oh, Uncle, okay. Uncle, you have been waiting a very long time.
Hi, Uncle.
It's a thrill to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Uncle, very much for your call. Wonderful, then. I will put Uncle back on hold, then. We have 931 joining us. And 931, welcome to the program. What is your name, and what's your question or comment for Bonnie?
Hi, Kel. It's Eric. It's Flower.
Hi, Eric. Eric, my dear friend Eric of Flyover Territory.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eric.
He who once had a very anti-Sharia show himself here on Blog Talk Radio. I was going to pseudo-troll you guys, but I just didn't have the heart to do it. To you ladies, I was going to come in here, but I was like, nah. I've been cooking with olive oil and bacon fat, so I don't think I could really get away with that. I couldn't pull off the thing. I just wanted to say, Bonnie, you have really been a great inspiration. And you have really brought forth the facts, and that's something that the Islamic sympathetic professional left can't stand because, you know, facts is that's like their kryptonite five-letter word. It's a dirty five-letter word. They don't like that.
Right.
And And Kel's heard me say this before, because their favorite five-letter word is truth, because it's like Play-Doh. You can squish it, mold it, and stick it to the fun factory and make it into whatever you want, just as long as you say it enough times, and that makes it okay. But I just want to thank you, because you've really put forth a lot of information out there that has really opened a lot of people's eyes. And I know you probably occasionally feel like, A, you're beset upon by all the people who try to do denial of service attacks. B, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I do.
In both of those columns, okay,
mm-hmm.
those are far outweighed by column C, which is all the people that you are providing fresh information for that are looking at it with fresh eyes themselves.
Yeah. Well,
so in a lot of ways, you've done a lot of good.
Thank you. Thank you. I kind of can see that by the number of visitors my blog gets every day, and I know, you know, there's a small group that comment every day, and there's always a couple new ones, but it's nowhere near the tens of thousands that come every day. So, you know, I do realize people are seeing it. Whether they like it or not is besides the point, but they are seeing it. So that part's good.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's either like it, dislike it, or in between.
Yeah,
but you can't say
not too much in between. I haven't found too much.
Well,
in
no, I'm saying from their perspectives.
Yeah.
In other words, the viewer's perspective. It's either going to be positive, negative, or neutral.
Right.
But the one thing that you cannot deny is that you have brought forth information that hopefully will cause a seed to be planted and it'll grow. I just wanted to take the time to be able to go ahead and thank you for that personally.
Well, thank you. Do you have a blog? Is that what Kel said at the beginning? Or
No.
Okay.
I used to have a regular show here on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're very, very welcome.
Okay.
Eric, you are an absolute doll, and I will be speaking with you on Skype pretty soon anyway, because Eric of Flyover Territory is a regular contributor to the Reactionary Speech Network. And
mm-hmm.
what he has to say about issues of America and the Constitution and everything else, Eric's voice is always welcome on everybody's radio program. So
mm-hmm.
I appreciate when he calls in to my humble little show here. And he does what he does so well. But, yeah, he brings up some really good points, and that is true. It seems that it's either one end or to the other end, and it is an issue. Like, where is the middle ground, as it were? Do you, Bonnie, do you ever feel like you do? Like, you pretty much when you do your blog, you are preaching to the choir. But
right.
do you ever feel like you're knocking your head against the wall going, oh my goodness, I can reach one more, and how do I do that? How do we change the minds of people whose eyes are so closed they refuse to open up?
You know, it's the everyday battle. You can't.
It
you
is.
You can't change the minds of people. Like I said, they have to have a personal experience with something that
mm-hmm.
opens their eyes. You can't force people to read it or to, you know, want to know about it. It's not human nature. They have to have
yeah.
a reason. You know, it's not the kind of blog you just, you know, when you're just surfing around that you would go to. So, but, you know, there are more and more. There are more Muslims. There's Islam in the news constantly, the war in Syria, Egypt. I mean, it's out there. Of course, our media tries to play down the Islamic role in Egypt and Syria, but it's there. And, you know, you just can't force people to want to know things. And it's not a pleasant subject. I mean, sometimes, you know, I shut down my computer and I hit my head on the wall and say to my husband, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm not getting anywhere. I mean, you know, I get 2 steps forward and 10 steps back because, you know, this happens and then CARE. Usually it's something CARE is doing. You know, they're cheering about defeating or having the anti-Sharia legislation defeated in different states. I said, my God, it's just not getting anywhere. And then I said, that's it, I'm done. But then the next day I go back anyway. But it is, it's frustrating. It really is. And
You know, Bonnie, that is so funny that you bring up that point, because I have been doing this radio show for 2 years now. And I just started my blog in April. I've got a long way to go with the blog. But in terms of the radio show, I started out doing this radio show thinking I would talk about general issues, but the more and more and more I started learning about Islam, that's pretty much that is the premise of the Red Fox blogger now, in that I speak about Islamic issues only.
Right.
But I would have days of despair where I would think, why am I doing this? What am I doing? Is anybody even listening to me? And I had a very good friend from Radio Jihad Network call into my show one day, and that was Eliza Jane of MP91 Freedom Quest, and she called in, and she said, look, you know what? You're going to have those moments, and you're going to think a little bit, and you're going to wonder what you are doing, what you're up to, what you're accomplishing, and you're going to feel like you're not doing anything. And she said, but you know what? Every time you do a radio program, every time you do anything, anytime you have a conversation with someone, that's a pair of ears that you have reached, and that could be the one whose life that you introduced to the underbelly of Islam, and that could be the set of ears that will tell another person and perhaps educate their children. So I was really, really buoyed by that. So this is why I keep going.
Yeah, it's things like that. I know I'll get an email or a comment from somebody in faraway country. I mean, Romania or South America, I know I have readers in 100 countries or more, but I'm always surprised to hear from them. And you know, every one of them will say, you know, we have the same problem down here with the Muslims. And some countries, you know, you don't even realize Muslims are there. But it's the same all over, and some of them write me in very halting English, but, you know, basically they're saying, thank you for doing this, because we have the same problems here. And that always, you know, it kind of encourages me that, you know, this is a worldwide problem. It's not just ours, and people are dealing with it in different ways all over the world. So, you know, that's one of the things that keeps me going. Also, riding my horse in the middle of the week, it helps keep my sanity, because I never think about Islam at all when I'm on the horse.
Oh, yes, you are. You know, I love that about you, is that you do find time just for yourself, that you get away from it and ride the horses and get out of the city and do that and just have time for yourself and literally let your hair down and shake all this, how shall I put it, this Islamic crapola out.
Yeah, it does.
And
it's
have
just,
time
you know,
for yourself.
It's a mental health break, which you definitely
exactly.
need.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
the thought of hair or Muslim never crosses my mind when I'm on the back of a 1,200-pound horse heading for a jump.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
yeah.
Don't throw me, don't dump me in the ground now.
Be nice, horsey. Be nice, horsey.
Yes.
My mental health break is watching old movies and watching indie movies and movies out of Africa or Europe or something like that, and watching actors that we'll never see on the red carpet in Hollywood, that sort of thing. I really love movies. I'm a movie fanatic, but it's not the Hollywood movies I enjoy. It's the obscure movies that maybe got an award or a mention or something like that. But this is what we have to do, because it is really, really stressing some days, Bonnie. It really is. Yeah. And you in particular, because your blog is so frank and so raw and so open that you
read. Well, I look at the stories that other blogs aren't doing. I try to stay away from Religion of Peace, even though that's a fabulous website and they do great stories, because all the other Islam
bloggers have, you know, use those stories. So I really, you know, I look for the little stories. In fact, when people say, what would you like me, you know, can I help you? I said, yeah, look in the local papers, you know, where you live. There's stories about Muslims that never make it to the national media. And those are the stories I like to post, and I do find a lot of those stories. And, you know, the big national stories that you see on Religion of Peace, everybody's posting about them, and I do too somewhat, but I do like to look for the different things or the different videos that, you know, isn't around everywhere else. So, and I find a lot of stuff. Some of it's brutal, but I'm the only one that probably shows all the beheadings videos that I do. But there's been a lot now since the Syria thing picked up. You know, for a while, well, they disappear, though. I have them up, and then, you know, they get taken down from the original websites or whatever. But there seems to be a lot now with Syria. And those don't even bother my readers anymore for the most part because they're so used to them. So I just throw them
well,
up.
Well, that's the thing. And that's it. It like, to me, like I speak and I do blogs. My blog is very slightly different from your format in
mm-hmm.
that I do things a little differently. But all the same, what you do, and this is why I commend you so very much, is that you're one of the very, very few bloggers out there that actually makes people sit down and say, look, this is happening. This
yeah.
is going on out there. And you post those videos. And, but you have to review each and every video before you
oh,
post
yeah,
it.
I look at them all. The only ones I really have trouble getting through are the ones where, you know, the slaughtering of animals, the halal slaughter.
Mm.
I, you know, I see what they're about, and I'll post them if I want, but I can't watch it to the end. It just tears me up. I can't watch the animals,
yeah.
the poor animals being tortured like that. And I can, you know, I can watch people being beheaded much easier than watching the animals. So those ones I never watch to the end. I just get an idea what's going on and if I want to post it or not. But look, it's, you know, I post things that, you know, wouldn't make it to Jihad Watch or Atlas Shrugs. And yeah, you know, I love Pamela and Robert. Robert doesn't really like my blog. I think he thinks I'm too controversial, but. You know, I think there's a place for all of us, and I want to be a little different than everybody else, so I try. That's one of the ways I do it.
Well, that's it. I mean, everybody can certainly have our own formats when it comes to our blogs and our radio shows, but the bottom line is that we are informing, and when we have to show things like what is going on in Syria, for example,
mm-hmm.
or what's going on in Afghanistan, and we have to expose that Barack Hussein Obama is actually supporting al-Qaeda when he wants
mm-hmm.
to
yeah.
bomb Syria. And then
yeah.
we have to show the atrocities of what the so-called rebels, which we know has been infiltrated by al-Qaeda. We have to expose that, and unfortunately, we also have to expose how they are capable of their atrocities, and that is including beheading little Christian children
mm-hmm.
and slaughtering
mm-hmm.
their families in their sleep. I remember when I was doing my program about a year ago, Bonnie, and I had to report on the Fogel family in Jerusalem
oh.
and the slaughter that took place there. It
mm.
broke my heart. Like, I had tears streaming down my face when I was reporting that. But
yeah.
it has to be done because people have to know the depravity of the Palestinians, for example.
Yeah.
And one thing I don't... Oh, and Bonnie, I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Palestinians, mm-hmm. I don't want to get into geopolitics so much, but one thing that bothers me when the word Palestinian comes up, I always say fail-astinian.
Fail-astinian. Some people say fake-astinians.
Yeah.
You know,
it's hard to know what
to call them. I mean, you know, they only became Palestinians since the time of Arafat. Nobody called them
mm-hmm.
Palestinians. In fact, if anything, the Jews were called Palestinians back then. They were just
yeah.
Arabs, plain old Arabs. So for a while I
yeah.
was using Arabs of Palestine, but it got too cumbersome. So, you know, it's easier to just call them Palestinians, but... You know, they're just generic Arabs that should have been absorbed into,
you know, 57 other Muslim countries. But, you know, they weren't. And the Arab countries keep them as refugees. Jordan has a big refugee camp, Lebanon. And they're not allowed to become citizens there. They can't own property, I don't think. And but Israel,
right.
You know, Israel's blamed for everything. Israel has to take in all these people when, you know, there's thousands and thousands of square miles they could live in. But they don't want them. You know, they can't go to these Arab countries. And when they do, they're put in camps.
Exactly.
I mean, they live
and
like kings in Israel compared to how they live in Jordan and Lebanon.
And you know what? I so totally agree with that. Absolutely. I call them Jordan's rejects.
But, you know, Israel made a big, big mistake in 48, not just, you know, get rid of them all, do an exchange. Muslim or the Arab countries threw out close to 1 million Jews, told them, now there's Israel, so go. So do an exchange. All right, you know, we'll take in all the Jews, but you have to take in all the Arabs. It would have solved so many problems.
Exactly. And
you know
what?
There were
you
people who wanted to do that, and they didn't get it done. And now they're paying the price,
right.
Unfortunately.
Yes,
but.
And they are indeed. You have another caller who wants to come on the air.
Okay.
And this is actually my good friend, and this is Jim. Jim is from Boston, and he sits with me on my program about once every 2 weeks, and he is probably one of the best people I could ever possibly know. And I am so glad that he is gracing my program and that he's able to speak with you tonight. And Jim, hello, how are you?
How are you, Cal? Bonnie, how you doing?
Hi, Jim. Oh, you have a Boston accent.
Yeah, we're going to get down to the bar and have a beer after we park the car, you know?
Okay.
And, no, I was here, I was listening, and when you were talking about, like, the beheadings,
uh-huh.
I've been posting stuff from military.com.
Oh.
If you go to military.com, I've been posting them on my Facebook page.
Great. Okay.
And I have been, I've had a few, a friend of mine I went to school with, I mean, he's totally the opposite of me. And, you know, he says, you know, we got to cut this out. He says, the Muslims are all right. And I gave him a couple of quotes out of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, you know, I think it was Surah 839, kill them all. Kill them all until they become Muslims and there's no religion but Islam.
Right, right.
Hold on a second. I have allergies. And I haven't heard from him since then, but a couple of his friends had posted stuff up, and I said, you know, if you people really believe that the Islamic world really wants peace, they'll have it when they kill all of you that believe in them. I don't believe in Islam. I don't trust Muslims, because you had mentioned earlier on your show about Somalis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the city I grew up in happens to be the 11th most dangerous city in America. It's called Chelsea, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And the Somalis have taken over basically this one area down by the public library,
mm-hmm.
Marlboro Street, and it's like a third world hellhole. You get down there, I mean, they look at you with disdain. This is what I was told from other people that I still, you know, keep in touch with that still live there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm saying, you know, don't trust any of them.
Yeah.
You know, because as I tell them, you know, it's a taqiyya. Then they go, what the hell are you talking about? I says, taqiyya is, it's permissible to lie.
Mm-hmm.
For them to lie to you, as long as they're pushing Islam and Sharia law.
Yeah, I hadn't read anything about Chelsea.
It's a small city. It's 1.8 square miles. But
well, so is Lewiston, Maine, and they have a big problem.
Yeah, they have a very large population up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good to know. If you find any stories from there, please send me.
You know, I mean, well, right now, like I said, you know, I mean, I don't see anything in the Boston Herald, you know, like, you know, if they're causing any serious trouble down there. But they're so congregated down in that one part of, you know, my old city I grew up in, that, you know, I guess some people are afraid to walk down there.
Yeah, well, with good reason.
You know, which, you know, hey, you know, just stay the heck away from them, you know? I mean... But, you know, I mean, so far we haven't had any problems around this area with Muslims. Of course, there's not that many around here. I mean, I went to a wake, 2 wakes in this one city, Revere, and I was walking behind a couple of women. You know, they had the hijabs on and everything. And
right.
One of them had a little girl, and the little girl had trouble walking with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, the little kid, you know, sidewalks, and you get all cracks and everything.
Right.
And the poor little girl, she stumbled.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother just went off on her, you know, that pigeon language that they use. And she picked her up by one arm, and, you know, and then her friend turned around. And, like the both of them were blaming that girl for tripping because of the lousy sidewalks. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yep, religion of peace. I think this kid's going to get her butt kicked when she gets home, you know? I mean,
yeah.
It's, you know,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be, but I don't want to be, but I don't want them here. I don't like them. I don't trust them. I don't think anybody should.
No.
Because, like I said, you know, I tell people from time to time, when you go to Barnes & Noble's, or, you know, any major bookstore, go to the religious section, start picking up a Quran and see some of the crap that's in there.
Yeah.
And get yourself educated, you know, because if you don't want to go on some of your websites, I mean, I've gone to your website there, Bare Naked Islam, and, you know, I can't believe the stories. And I go to work, I tell the guys, hey, go to this website. You want to see how peaceful these people are? They're
mm-hmm.
about as peaceful as, you know, I won't say, but, you know, you got my drift. I mean, they're not.
Yeah.
You know, they.
Yeah, it's true though. You know, when their numbers are small, they're fine. They don't, you know, they don't make any trouble. But as their population grows, then it becomes a problem for the area. I mean, there's a huge Somali population in Minneapolis, and there's gangs, and you know, they have problems with the sex gangs and.
Yep.
Just like in England,
it's
turning
yeah.
into London now. But that's what happens. And, you know, they're very insular and, you know, keep to themselves and everything. And that would be fine. That's not bad in itself. But, you know, then the other problems come along with it. And, I mean, I have no backup on this, so I can't confirm it. But I understand from some sources that Barack Obama is bringing in a lot of Somali refugees, and they're not even coming in under the regular immigration quotas because he gives them refugee status.
Yep.
We pay for them to come. I mean, these people don't have a lot of money, so obviously we pay for them to come here.
Oh,
we
yeah. They're coming in under the so-called Refugee Resettlement Act.
Yes, yes. And those
numbers
don't even
show. George Bush brought the Iraqis in.
They don't even show up
yeah.
in the immigration numbers. But, you know, we provide housing, we provide welfare. I mean, some of them do work. But then there's another problem. They go to work in these meatpacking plants or manufacturing plants, and then the trouble starts because they want time off during the day to pray, special prayer rooms. You know,
yep.
you know the whole, you know the drill.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. And I have searched far and wide on all the government websites I could find to find out how many Muslims are being brought into this country. And I can't find it. It's like a blackout. I cannot find it anywhere. I've had people who know how to search through government files, freedom of information. You can't find exact numbers. You can't even find general numbers. I don't know what's happening, but, you know.
Well,
They're popping up all over, and I can't get a number count on how many are being brought in here.
Well, they say the last time I saw anything on the numbers, there's like a little over 6 million here in the United States right now.
Where did you see that? Because that's not true.
It's not true?
No.
Okay, good then.
They have between 2 and 3 million. I don't know the exact number, probably closer to 3 now, but the number, you know, Kara's always saying 7 or 8 million. It's not. It's not anywhere near that. I mean, my
okay,
feel like
good.
It is, but
I feel relieved.
But I would be happier if I could get the numbers, the actual numbers. I mean,
yeah.
you know, you have it from the census is one thing, but I want to see these yearly immigration numbers. It seems to be hidden. I'm sure they've blacked it out in Washington because you can't get it.
Hmm.
So
yeah,
if you know anybody that has any influence in Washington where they could find that out, I'd appreciate it because I haven't been able to.
Yeah, I saw something on the chat room from Lady Michelle. She says, what happened to the mafia in Revere? Lady Michelle, they all moved to the suburbs because they're being overtaken by the Muzzies.
indeed.
But,
and I just, and Jim, and something else too, and Bonnie, it's the infiltration of our high schools and our universities. I just picked up a book from Paula Sutcliffe today, and it is called Phase 2, The Infiltration of the Muslim Student Association, a.k.a. the Muslim Brotherhood, in our universities. And actually, Jim, this touched home with you, of the Boston High School that read the Muslim poem on 9/11 and forgot to read the Pledge of Allegiance. And what was going on over the intercom, there was some student there reciting something about my mother washes
my grandmother.
My grandmother washes her feet in a Sears bathroom. Like, for goodness sake, what on earth is going on here?
Well, I don't know, where did they think to let a long poem somebody could read? Why that? I mean, that was offensive and, you know, unrelated to anything on 9/11.
Well, it's I think it was the Concord school system. I'm not sure, because like I said, you know, I haven't been feeling well, but they took the kids to a mosque the other day.
Yeah.
And
that was Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And, you know, they all got Korans. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine taking a field trip and making kids go to a Jewish synagogue or a Christian church today? Oh, my God. What would happen?
ACLU would be filing a lawsuit so quick, you wouldn't know it hit you. And they the ACLU filed a lawsuit against one, I think it was a Muslim school or something. I'm not sure. But that was several years ago, and you don't hear from them at all. I mean, these trips to mosques and Muslims from CARE coming in and teaching students about Islam in the classroom, you don't hear a word from the ACLU. It drives me crazy.
No, I find that ACLU to be one of the biggest hypocritical organizations around, because, as I put it to some people about the ACLU, most of those lawyers, they're all American bred.
Mm-hmm.
They all grew up saying Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and now today those SOBs are fighting against those things that they grew up with, and it was okay for them, but today it's not okay for your kids, your grandkids today at all. So screw that ACLU.
But it's okay to, you know, go to a mosque.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's disgusting. You know, I mean, after what's... You know, when I'm not feeling well, I get really riled up too easily. But after seeing those lousy Democrats walk out of the hearings on Benghazi when the family members were there, and then I keep thinking that, you know, these idiotic lefties out here think that Islam, oh, we can get along. You cannot coexist with them.
No.
You know, this country, America, at least I can say it because, you know, like I said, I don't care anymore. I think America needs a bloody-ass revolution.
Yeah.
That's it, the bottom line, because you can't do it by the ballot box, because 51% of the American public were that stupid, and they reelected the idiot that we have now, and look at the mess the country is in today.
Yep.
Now he wants to go start World War III with Syria.
Oh, yeah.
Well, for 3 years, almost 3 years, they've been fighting each other, and all of a sudden now, because somebody... And it hasn't been proven, because I haven't seen anything from John Kerry, the coward, that Assad used gas on his people. Well, let me see the paper.
No, he didn't.
The UN
was there, and they investigated. All they would say is that, yes, it was used. They have no evidence whatsoever that it was used by Assad. But they did say, which didn't get reported very many places, that they were like 99% sure it came from a rebel area.
Yeah.
Like the other attacks had come from.
Well, on one of the videos that I have on my Facebook page, they show a group of them firing off a canister. You know, they're going to a 105 howitzer, and they shoved it in front of the howitzer, and they ran away from it, but they still pulled the lanyard to, you know, fire it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these guys, I mean, it's hard to tell who's who anyway, but 9 out of 10 times, I'm willing to bet those were terrorist, Al-Qaeda terrorist, or their support.
Oh, absolutely, Jim.
Assad was winning. He had no reason to do that. It's insane, you know, that anybody could think he would at this point when he had the lead on the jihadists. I don't know why. But I know why Obama got involved, because of Egypt, because of the Muslim Brotherhood getting overthrown in Egypt. All of a sudden, their plans for –
I don't know, the caliphate or whatever, went bust when Mohammed Morsi was no longer in charge of Egypt. So they Obama figured, well, we better get this Muslim Brotherhood set up quick in Syria because they're not able to do anything with Egypt now. I think that's the total reason for it. So my own personal opinion, but that's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
well, I
mean, Morsi,
agree with that.
Yeah, because
I
go ahead.
Yeah, Obama, Erdogan of Turkey, and Morsi of Egypt, they were like a very tight trio. And, you know, he took over Egypt. He was Islamicizing Egypt. And they figured, well, we'll just let Syria play out. You know, eventually Assad will step down or whatever. But once they lost Syria, and that was a huge loss for Obama, huge. I think he returned his focus.
I'm just going to let people know that if you want to call in, you have got 15 minutes to do so, and the call-in number is 347-237-4318, or you can call in on the Skippity Skype. I have people in my studio, 505-661-813. If you would like to speak with Bonnie, just press 1 on your telephone line or press 1 on your Skype pad, and I will bring you on the air. But if you're otherwise just listening, believe me, I appreciate your presence very much. And I don't know what to say about Syria, Bonnie and Jim. And just to remind everybody that Jim is my regular contributor to the program, and he graces my show about once every 2 weeks whenever he can catch a breath of air himself because he works so hard. Jim, I am so thrilled that you could be here tonight. But what this is, the stuff that is going on, and I'm just switching gears back a little bit and taking it more local in terms of the Tennessee high school students and the Boston students and these trips, these day trips to the mosque. Like, do the parents of these school children, do they not peruse Bonnie and Jim, it frustrates me because if my child came home from school one day and said, hey, guess what? We're going on a tour of a mosque. And
mm-hmm.
I would be floored. I would be phoning the school and saying, my child is not attending a mosque. And we see these pictures of the students that are showing up in these mosques. And we've got these young people. And they're taking off their shoes, and they're learning how to bow towards Allah, towards Mecca,
right.
Towards...
Up near Jim in Wellesley, Massachusetts, all the boys, you know, got down on their hands and knees and learned how to pray in the mosque.
Mm.
But the one in Tennessee, I don't know if the parents were unaware that the kids were going on this trip. I assume they'd have to sign a permission slip.
I mean, I think there'd be some good people down in Tennessee resisting this, too.
Yeah.
You know,
but they did. The parents
kid.
Got together... And they raised hell at the school. You're not taking them to churches. You're not taking them to synagogues. What is it? So the school decided they would end the program because they didn't have enough money to take children to all the different denominations. But whatever reason they gave, I don't care. They got the program canceled.
Well, that's good because you figure, you know, maybe the Muzzies would have looked and say, well, there's Bernstein. And there's, you know, Schultze, you know, maybe they wouldn't, well, we can't allow them, they're Jews, we can't allow them in there. Well, so much for your religion apiece, you phony hypocrites, you know?
You know, there's another thing in the back burner that probably is an element in these trips to mosques and speakers. I think CARE, working behind the scenes, the Muslim Brotherhood, I think they do something of benefit for the school, whether it's buying them books or funding some kind of a program. I'm sure there's, you know, stuff you don't see. There's some kind of monetary reward involved there. But why all of a sudden are all these things going on about Islam? I mean, California, I mean, they're teaching, they have students, you know, wearing Muslim clothes for a day in the school. Why is this? There's got to be, I think there's a monetary incentive for these schools to include this type of teaching. What do you think?
Like the old saying, you know, he who has the gold rules, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly.
Well,
wasn't there some sort of a textbook handout in Florida? I believe it was Florida, where it was a booklet, and it was based on world religion. And there were one or two pages devoted to Judaism and another mm-hmm. few pages devoted to Christianity and maybe Hinduism. However, there was one passage in that booklet, and 26 pages or so were devoted to Islam.
Wow.
It is just unbelievable.
All tied in with that, something I want to mention, most of my readers know this, but the Saudis finance about 80% of the history textbooks, history, social studies, those kind of textbooks that are used in American schools. The schools get them for free. So, of course, they want to take them because they're free. But they have revisionist history. They make Islam a high part of the, you know, more important in the books than any other religion, and they even criticize other religions as compared to Islam. It's total revisionist history, and this is what's being taught in the schools. That's why I keep telling people, read your children's textbooks, especially history and social studies. Ask
mm-hmm.
them what they're learning about Islam in school. You know, it's easy to find this stuff in the books, and you know, get the parents together and raise hell. I mean, it's hard. You know, you have to deal with the school board, and we already bought the books for this year and next year or whatever. But you know, you have to be the squeaky wheel because CARE is the
That's
squeaky
right.
wheel, and they get the
and
attention.
And just to let
you
know,
be
time out.
And that's Jim. You got to take the dog for a walk again. Bonnie, you have another caller that wants to come on.
Okay.
And Jim is tending to his puppy, so I'm going to put him on hold for a sec. But this is 661, and 661, welcome to Red Fox Blogger. And what is your name, and what's your question or comment for Bonnie?
Hello, is this me?
It is you, 661. What's your name?
Okay, Sam.
Hi, Sam. Welcome to the program. Do you have a question or a comment for Bonnie?
Yeah. My question is regarding two recent incidents. I'm not from here, as you can tell. I'm from another country. But anyway,
where? Where are you from?
Oh, India?
Uh-huh.
Okay, India. Okay. So, anyhow, my question is, we had this incident in West Palm Beach, Florida. And another incident, Florida Atlantic University professor.
Uh-huh.
So both were under attack, right? And this one was recent. The Palm Beach incident was just last week. So my question is, isn't there any organization or group of people who would launch a counteroffensive when CARE attacks them? So these people are totally defenseless, trying hard to protect their jobs, but without the support of the people, in the professor's case, his students, and maybe the community, and
Sam, that is an excellent question, and I'm sorry to say we don't have a counter to CARE. There's no, we should, like the ACLU should be the counter to CARE, but they're not. They're in bed with CARE. The only way, I mean, you get people like Robert Spencer and Pamela Geller, and they'll go and, you know, give a talk or whatever and defend these people, but there's no equivalent of CARE, and I think that's a really good idea. I wish we could get together and form a group like that, but they're very well-funded, extremely well-funded from overseas, and they have about 30 lawyers that they use to threaten and sue companies and schools if they don't conform to what they want. But I think that would be a great idea. I don't know how to get it organized.
Okay.
But
that, you know, I mean, the, you know, forming teams of lawyers is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even thinking about that. How about just a vocal group of people who would, create a big fuss when when TV people focus, like for example, Florida, I mean the Palm Beach County Administrator, if he had said something similar about Christianity, would the TV guy be on his doorstep? So, I mean, no one would even pay attention. So maybe he could have asked that question to the TV guy. Would you be here in front of my house if I had said the same thing? What's wrong with you? You know, it's on the table around. Like, expose those guys. Because that's a valid question. What's so special about this particular religion that, you know, slightly negative comment that it becomes such a major incident? You know, I can understand Kerr screaming about that. What's the TV guy's interest in this? They just want to start the party?
The media is all left-wing for the most part. And the left-wing sides with the Islamists all the time. And there is no, I mean, if there was a more balanced media, they would get both sides of the story and ask those kind of questions. I never see them doing it. I see all the news reports that CARE posts on their site because they get to the media and they tell the media what's going on, and the media reports it from the CARE point of view. Our media is very deficient with that. I don't know. I don't know why they do, but they do.
No, I understand corporations like Lowe's yielding to whatever boycott threats and all that because it has to do with money. Mm-hmm. But the media, I think, is responsible to the people, or, you know, they rely on the people. So I don't know if people love those stories, which is why they do it, because you got to give something, you know, I mean, the reason you do a story is because people like those stories, right? So do the majority of people in that community like that kind of story, like the Palm Beach County? I don't know, you know, it's... it's sad that they have no defense. When your job is on the line, you just have to shut up and defend yourself.
Exactly. I want to thank you very, very much for your telephone call with Bonnie. And believe me, are you in India right now, or are you calling from India, or are you in North America?
No. I'm right here calling from Skype. Yeah, so it's not a 661 code, but I'm calling right here. You know, from
Sam, Florida. I want to thank you very much. I want to spend more time with you. Can you please call into my program anytime in the future? Please, I would love to speak with you further. The only thing is that we're running against the clock right now, and believe me, I want to have a word with you. Thank you, Sam, very, very much.
He brought up a great point. Why don't we have a counter to CARE here?
Exactly, Bonnie. That's
we
what
do,
I mean. I would
you know,
really love to. I would really love to have more time with a gentleman like Sam and discuss that further.
I think Brigitte Gabrielle's group is as close as you get to a counter to
CARE,
although they're not funded like CARE, but they are out in the forefront, you know, trying to fight CARE on these issues, but there's a lot of them. I mean, CARE is all over. They have at least 30 lawyers doing this stuff every day. So.
Oh, yeah. People, you have to remember what CARE is. The Council of American Spit Islamic Relations. You have to remember there were unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation where they were money laundering to send money to Hezbollah. You have to remember, this is exactly what we're facing. We're not facing only the kinetic jihad, ladies and gentlemen, but we're facing the civilization jihad, and that is what CARE is. It's nothing but a big old jihad.
When you mention unindicted, you've got to also mention indicted and convicted, because there were several members of CARE who were indicted, convicted, deported, and or jailed. So it's not the ones that didn't go to jail are the unindicted ones. But don't fail to mention that a lot were put away for this funding deal.
Exactly, Bonnie.
Okay?
Yeah.
The unindicted,
you know what?
Make people think, well, they didn't do anything, so they weren't indicted. But there were plenty who did. So.
Oh, I know. Bonnie, we have just scratched the surface here tonight. We have been on the air for 2 hours, and you
wow.
and I, we haven't scratched the surface.
Yeah.
I'm being very, very greedy, but I'm wondering, would you come back to my show?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I would love to have you on again.
Okay.
It has been an absolute delight. You are just such, oh, the work that you do in educating the public. And it is true. It's not Islamophobia, because they really are trying to kill us, and people pay attention to that. Bonnie,
yeah.
a bare naked Islam, she is out there. She is telling you the truth, as I strive to do on my humble little blog and on my humble little radio show. And when I have people who have been working so hard for so many years to tell you what's going on out there, I am honored. Bonnie,
I
can't tell you enough what a thrill this was.
Well, same here. Same here. I wasn't nervous at all, as I thought I would be. You make it very comfortable.
Oh, my goodness. I'm talking to my friend. We've been friends for years, too.
I know. I met you on Radio Jihad, correct?
Yeah, I believe we did meet up there. And then I was... Yeah, I think the very first time I got in touch with you is to ask you about what was it?
It was right on the air. I was a guest on Radio Jihad, and you called in, and that's when we first.
Yeah, and
to
I
talk.
Was probably nervous as all get go because I was speaking to Bonnie.
No, I don't think so.
But it was an absolute pleasure to talk with you back then, and as always, right now. And my listeners, you can count on it. If I can twist Bonnie's arm, she'll be back very, very soon.
Okay. Look forward to it.
Oh, I do too. And ladies and gentlemen, that's it. We are pretty much out of time. I'm going to play us out. But I want to give Bonnie the last word, and Bonnie is going to speak to you. Bonnie, tell my listeners what they need to hear, and tell them what they need to do.
I have to warn them that talking to people about this will lose you friends and will lose you invitations to family events. But
hello!
But, you know, it's worth it. I mean, people that don't want to hear about it, they have their heads in the sand, and someday they'll come back and say, you know, you were right. So just keep pushing. Get a story, show it to a friend, you know, send it to your email list. Everybody can do something, you know, to educate people that would never come to my blog or the other blogs. And, you know, little by little, people do wake up. You know, you keep send them something once a week. Don't inundate them. Just once a week, you know, your favorite story of the week. And, you know, maybe they'll pay attention. Maybe they won't talk to you anymore. My very best friend stopped talking to me when I started my blog. And she had been
my
best friend since we were
one of my own
college.
Sisters won't, one of my own sisters, she speaks with me, but it's pretty much now to the point where she tolerates me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Then, you know, my friend was a very left-wing person, and I didn't know it because I wasn't political in college. You know, I didn't even vote in an election until 2004, believe it or not. I had never voted. That's how apolitical I was all my life. So, I came to realize that my very dear friend was a far leftist. But, you know, we maintained friendship. We just never talked about politics. But when I sent her the link to my blog, she said, how could you do this? This is disgusting. And that was it. We never spoke again. So, what happened?
I'm telling you. Yeah.
But I made a lot of new friends, so it's okay.
Oh, so did I. And I made new friends and better friends and solid friends doing this. Like, that is the payoff. I may have lost some old friends.
Right.
Who don't understand exactly what I'm doing, but I have made some wonderful friends doing this down the road.
Right.
Bonnie, thank you so very much.
Well, and thank you for having me. It was fun. It was great.
Absolutely.
I look forward to it again. Okay?
Hey, I'll be talking. I'll be talking with you privately down the road.
Very good. Take care.
Count on
now.
It.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bonnie. Have a great evening.
Same here. Bye-bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Bonnie of Bare Naked Islam gracing my show. She has a lot to say, and you have to visit her site. If you're new to this radio program, or if you're new to understanding Islam, you have reached the right place. Go to Bare Naked Islam, and hey, buy some cool swag. Bonnie didn't expect me to do that, but I did. I put the links up there. I want to thank you all, though, that joined me here. It is not an easy show to do some days. As a matter of fact, it's very tough. And Bonnie has to witness things that you wish you would never see in your worst nightmares. I have to witness some things. And it's not something that we tread lightly on. It is something that we do because educating you about Islam is a calling. And educating yourself about the underbelly is important to us. And we try and we strive to get it right because, as Bonnie and I were saying, if we can reach one pair of ears or if we can reach one set of eyes, we have done our work. But you know what? There's going to be one day that we pray that we will be put out of work because Islam will be put off the planet. I want to see Islam eradicated. I would love to see it in my lifetime. I don't think that will happen. But one thing I can assure is that I did something, and so did you, and so can you. And Bonnie is doing that as well. We are setting a legacy. We are warriors. Bonnie and I, we are the infidel warrior princesses. We try our very, very best. I want you to pay attention to all the blogs that we have and everything that we do. Ladies and gentlemen, that is it. I am out of time. I want to thank you all very much for joining me tonight. I want to thank everybody who joined me on the air, and that was Flyover Territory. That was John Laird, Sam, Mark. I want to thank area code 505-813. I want to thank other people here. I want to thank Doc, Drake's Drum, Earthbound Angel, my guests, Hold Your Awakens, Lady Michelle, Luchadora, Melinda, No Way, Paul Alexander, Reactionaries, Robert Ryan, or Bob. You guys are absolutely fantastic. Have a great weekend, and I will see you back here on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And remember, it's mass Islamity. Stop the insanity. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday at 3. Bye-bye.